We also are going to hear from Brian Friesen. We're going to hear from Ian Cron and from John Falk this morning. We are continuing. This will be our last of 4 weeks talking about church in the marketplace. And just want to hear a little bit of these four gentlemen's journey, their story in the marketplace, what God has been doing in their lives and how those have integrated together. So they're going to be sharing, and through testimony, our hope is that we will be encouraged to engage. We've been talking about Luke 19, where Jesus says, engage in business until I come. And you know what? What Bethany just announced is an announcement that puts flesh on what we're talking about. That's more than a bowling event. That's engaging in God's business until he comes. You all know Brian and Ruth's story. You all know where they're at. That's Jesus with flesh on, rescuing someone by bringing them into the family. And you know what? It costs money. It costs a lot. So this is to help pay for those legal fees, but we can't even measure the cost of a soul being rescued. And that's what's happened with little Xavier. He has a family where he'll grow up to know the Father heart of God. It's not something we can put a price on. And it's so easy for us to be content with what we have so that we are comfortable. Okay? Nothing wrong with contentment, but God's call to engage actually invites us to think bigger. To say, besides my own contentment and my own comfort, is there something that you want to download and partner with me in to share your Father heart with others? So that others might be even rescued, saved. And sometimes we can limit that. But God has all the resources. He's a wealthy God and he wants us to manifest his wealth. We've talked about what wealth is. Wealth is God's valor, God's strength, manifest. And it is manifest through us, through his body, when we walk it out. And we talked about the difference between prosperity gospel, the counterfeit, and the real. The real prosperity gospel is that he wants us to prosper for his kingdom's sake, that his wealth, his manifest glory, his strength will be seen. The counterfeit is when we want that wealth to spend on ourselves for our own purposes. And we don't partner with God in it. That's the difference. But he wants us to prosper. For the body's sake. For people's sake. Okay. That was a just short reminder of where we're at. What we're talking about. John is going to come first. Then Ian. Then Paul. And then Brian. And I'm not going to say much in between. Because I want to give you guys time to say as much as what you have. And if we have time at the end, we're just going to take a little time for open questions, discussions, thoughts of what God has been stirring in your heart, or questions you have for any of these gentlemen or me regarding the subject. John, come on up. Bless you. Love you.
Thank you.
You're full of it.
I know.
Just let it out.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. You can tell I probably have a age identity crisis because I have an iPhone that I have my notes on, and for backup I brought paper. So obviously I'm struggling in a lot of areas, but we're going to go with the iPhone here. But I think it's really cool that our leadership has kind of done this whole church in the marketplace thing. And honestly, when I thought about this and when Dan asked me to speak, the first thing that came to me was the one guy that really had this down pat and he didn't do it churchy-wise was a guy that is no longer with us, unfortunately, and that's Tim Harder. But he exemplified, in my opinion, church in the marketplace. Wow. So, I don't know. Tim left an example. And I think it should be a challenge to all of us, an encouragement to all of us. And he's probably up there with his GTO right now, just riding. But anyway, if you're thinking that you're going to hear this rags to riches story in the next 5 minutes, you better wait for Ian or Paul or Brian, because you're not going to hear it from me right now. But I wanted to start off with a, I guess, verses out of James, which kind of really paints a picture, I guess, of how I view things or the journey that I'm going through. And that's in James 1, 2 to 4 or 5 or whatever. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Some pretty powerful words there. And the thing that I want to, that's really been hitting home to me, or is this thing joy. Consider it all joy. And I don't believe he's talking about all happy and stuff. Well, I can't make my payments. I need more sales. And I'm all excited. But what is joy? And I looked it up, and basically one of the definitions is joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. The key word there is settled state of contentment. And for me, over the last 5 years since I started my own business, this has been a journey. And I'm just starting to really learn to enjoy the ride. There's been a lot of challenges. There still are. But it's coming to that point of experiencing joy through all the testing, all the trials and tribulations, all the challenges. And that is not something that I can't muster on my own. That has to come from God. And I can honestly say in the last year or so, I am starting to experience joy. And, you know, as it says in James, it produces endurance when you go through all these things. And let endurance have its perfect course so that you are complete, lacking in nothing. And the whole thing about wisdom, asking God for wisdom. Like that's, if there's one thing I can say as far as whether if you're a business person or just living your daily life, that's, he wants to give it to us generously. I want to share a couple of examples. You're probably going to wonder why I'm sharing this, because it shows that I'm probably pretty human. But I run trade shows and do some other stuff, right? And so I got a registration came in about 4 or 5 months ago from one of my sponsors from the previous year's show. And so they registered and sent in the registration, filled out the amount and all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at it going, wow. It was it was approximately $4,500 for the on a booth and the advertising, all this kind of stuff. And I really needed money. I still do. they came back with this registration wanting an invoice for $4,500. The truth of the matter was that I had made a deal with them because they came to the table the first year for $1,500. And I can tell you honestly, I'm not proud of it, but I struggled with this because I really needed those funds in my account because I had bills to pay, lots of bills to pay. And I remember I knew the right thing to do. The next day I drove over there and I said, you know what? I said, this is really cool. I mean, you guys want to give me this amount of money, but the truth of the matter is this is the deal that I had made with the previous manager. And they go, whoa. Thank you. And I said, well, I think what I said, something like, I don't think God would be too happy with me if I try to rip you off that way. And I just wouldn't feel right. It's not the right thing to do. And about 3-4 weeks after that, came home one day. And again, it was one of those days where I had been praying and just, because I don't know about you guys, but I struggle sometimes really grasping the fact that God really loves me, right? I don't know if anybody, you guys are all probably perfect. You got it all figured out. But I was just praying and I just, Lord, I need to know. I came home and inside the door to my garage, there was an envelope. And I'm one of those guys in the lot, or for a lot of times, you know, go to the mail to see if there's any checks in there, right? Because I've sent invoices out. So I walk up there and envelope. And I figure, maybe somebody had dropped off a payment for a booth or whatever. Open it up. And there's this check from this gentleman for $500. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it was the last person in the world that should have given me $500. And I just broke down. I phoned him up and he said to me, God's been putting me on your heart for the last 4 or 5 weeks and I just haven't listened. And I'm going, wow, God cares so much, so much. He was talking to somebody for a month. Going back to Tim as an example of the marketplace, or the church in the marketplace, he showed a lot of compassion. He wasn't maybe the most quietest, you know, proper language all the time, all that kind of stuff. But he had compassion. And I think that's what Jesus shows us in so many different examples. He had compassion for people. He was interested in people. He cared about people. And I think that's one of the things that really challenges me, is not to be churchy. You know, don't go out there and talk about all these fancy church words or whatever. Just be real. Show an interest in people. Be compassionate like Jesus. I mean, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Right? He wept. Another one of my favorite verses, and that's something that's really become real to me. I think God showed me a revelation maybe 6 months ago or a year ago. We all know the verse, Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I've known that verse all my life and think it's pretty cool. Also, the Lord just showed me, he said, like, all things. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? To me, it starts, I can be a better business person. I can be a better husband. I can be a better father. I can be a better papa. I can do all these things through Christ, right? And that all just started hitting specific examples in my life. The key thing there is through Christ. It requires a partnership. And I can tell you that a lot of people would say partnerships are the sign of someone that's weak, business partnerships or whatever. I don't agree with that, but anyway, this partnership is not a weak partnership. When we partner with Jesus, the thing is, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's at least a 51-49%. He's in charge. He's in charge. And I've seen that so many times. It doesn't mean we just sit back and just veg and go, God's going to take care of me. No, work your butt off. Okay? Ask him for wisdom. There's so many examples of the trade shows that I do. I do whatever I can, social media, emails, phone contacts, mail outs, knocking on doors. And I'm not going to take a lot more time here, but I could go into so many examples of the people that I think are going to come through for a booth or whatever. They don't. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, countless times, where did this business come from? How did they know about this? There is only one way, and that's because God made it happen. And like I said, this is a journey. I'm on this journey. It's a fun journey. And I encourage us all to not to think that we've arrived. It's a walk. It's a process. And going back to what I said in the beginning, the rags to riches story, this is a rags-to-riches story for all of us, okay? We really are, we had nothing to offer, we have nothing to offer, but now we are just crowned totally. Like, I mean, we are seated in heavenly places, and so it is rags-to-riches for all of us.
How's it going, guys? My name is Ian Cron. I think a lot of you guys know me, but some of you might not. And so I was asked last Sunday to talk a little bit about church in the marketplace. So I don't have that all figured out yet, but I'll at least kind of tell you guys about my experience and what I've been going through, what God's been teaching me, and then kind of encourage you guys in the area of risk. So for a little bit of context for my background, I really enjoy taking risk, and I guess I've always kind of understood that I have favor, right, in whatever I do, and that, you know, my dad created the universe, so it's a little bit of a playground, right? So when I was 21 years old, I ended up hurting my back doing landscaping, and I saw, you know, this stone veneer product, this masonry stuff, and I figured, you know what, how hard is that? You know, I could figure it out. So I started a masonry company. I learned how to do it on my first day of masonry. And I ended up, you know, hiring some guys and growing our team. And Joe worked with me for a couple years. And it was an awesome few years of us getting to figure out, you know, what us building our own culture looks like in a workplace and us kind of tackling that industry. But then, like all things for me, I get kind of restless and I get kind of bored. I'm like, well, I don't really love stone. And you know, I had this opportunity of a gentleman who actually asked to buy the business. So I'm like, heck yeah, like I'm 24 years old. This is good. I get my first buyout. This is fantastic. I don't even care if it's for $5, right? And so we ended up doing that and merged up with him, worked for a couple of years there. And I had to take over the area of safety, right? So all of the core certification and whatever else. And so in doing that, I went to a bunch of courses to figure out, you know, what that is that you're supposed to be doing, right? And they were doing it on binders and stuff like that. And so, you know, I figured I'd take another risk. And I'm like, okay, good paying job. Okay, I quit. I'm going to try to figure out how to get people to do safety stuff on iPads and in iPhones because that's in your pocket. Like, I don't know how guys in construction are supposed to carry around 6 binders. It makes no sense, right? My guys barely, you know, carried. I was lucky if they had a pen, right? Like, never mind everything else. So I did that, again, couple years did that, and got bored. I'm like, oh man, let's do this again. And so my very patient wife is, okay, you're quitting it again. Okay, that's another job. And so I ended up starting an outdoors company. I don't know if you guys have seen the hoodies around and stuff, Fin and Bone, right? So that was kind of my offering to kind of the outdoor industry. Because I always, in everything I've done, I've always kind of had a challenge with the traditional way that things are done, right? Everybody's doing it this way. Well, wait a second, why don't we just do it like this? And so we started a different company, and we started Fin and Bone. I quit my job because it was a software company in BC that I was working with to build that app. And again, good paying job, cold turkey quit, had nothing to go to, and started Fin and Bone. And so what ended up happening was we got sponsored by a couple of companies, and one of those companies was FXR, big local company, right? So we ended up going in for a meeting with these guys and kind of saying, you know what, we think you guys could do it like this and like this. And they said, okay, well, we'll give you like $4,000 to make a video. I'm like, okay. But then I came back to them with this huge proposal for $80,000 for across the year and all these things, right? And the owner sat there with a very, you know, kind of stern face. And after this big meeting with, you know, 15 of his people, he come to my office. I'm like, oh, crap. I overdid it, you know. I reached a little bit too far and we got burnt here. But he ended up going, man, I've never seen somebody engage like that. We've been looking for a marketing team. Like, would you guys take over globally everything we do? It's a $60 million company. We have a $3 million advertising budget. And I'm like, I don't have a background in marketing, but sure, right? Let's do it. I got ideas. And so I ended up, again, quit what I'm doing, jump into something new. And we worked there for the past 2 years. And we ended up, you know, just trying to understand how people interact and kind of change how businesses interact with their customers, right? And so we ended up taking that big budget and we actually cut it down, started spending it on the digital area with Facebook and all these other things that you can do. And it went super, super well. We brought guys in to kind of build this online sales funnel to figure out how these things worked. And kind of started looking at each other like, wait a second, I think we're onto something here. And Nikki, you know, oh, great, here we go again. This is a good job, Ian, don't quit it. What are you doing? And so, again, You know, awesome company. The when I talk about church in the marketplace, they were Christian owners. That culture did not necessarily translate over, right? It's kind of a challenging, you know, workplace, and a lot of people felt that and stuff. And so 4 months ago, I quit again and started a new company doing online marketing stuff. And again, kind of jumped out of the plane, building my parachute as I'm falling. And I'm going, oh, Lord, this better work. Please help. And sure enough, like always, he's this awesome dad. And it's 4 months from when I started. We have 9 full-time employees. We've outgrown our office. We've done more sales in the past kind of 3 months than I've done in 5 years with other businesses. And we've taken on awesome, awesome companies, you know, like Suzuki, and Gorp's actually one of our clients, and Honda and Nissan, and we've done stuff for Toyota and like ag companies, and it's working, right? And it's, again, it's, I think if there's one thing I get, or there's one thing that I really grasp, it's that, you know, God's my dad, right? And he's got my back, and it's one of those things, like, he created the entire universe, so why would I be concerned in these little things, right? And for me, like, a super important verse in that, and something to remember, is Luke 12:24, right? Consider the ravens, if even they have food, and then consider the lilies. You know, if even the grass is clothed like this, why are you guys worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? Don't worry about tomorrow. Like, he's a good dad, and he takes care of you, right? And so the cool thing that we've been able to do is, yeah, we're working with big companies, and we're doing really cool stuff there, but it's given us an opportunity to kind of go, what does a good culture look like? What do Christian owners look like? How does marketing and God, how does that dovetail together, right? And we're organically changing it as we go, but it comes down for us to this really cool culture of relationship, right? We take kind of love and loving your customer and blessing your customer, and we have to reskin that because we're dealing in the marketplace, right? Of the terminology of that, but it's understanding that these are people that you're dealing with. You don't just spam them with ads. You give them value. You interact with your employees different. You interact with your customer different, and in turn, you help change that culture all the way down. And we're seeing huge returns from that. Not even just, you know, physically, like how that environment works for the companies that we're working with in our company, but financially in that, just interacting with people different, right? And so, you know, as well as working with these big companies, we've had this awesome opportunity of working with tons of small people that are like, man, I really have a dream to do this, and I really want to do that, but I'm scared, right? Like, oh, finances, what if this doesn't work? What if that doesn't work? And I think what I'm trying to do this morning is kind of encourage you guys, right? You know, you have the story of the talons, right? Everybody's given something and people kind of bury it. And I think, you know, over the past couple of years, kind of changing my theology and rewriting it and clearing the chalkboard and starting again. And I think the one thing that it keeps coming back to is God's my dad, right? And my purpose is to grow his kingdom, right? And that doesn't always look the same. Right? Like, that's not always, oh man, like, I'm really good at this, so I got to quit my job now and just, I got to go to Africa. Like, that's what we do to grow kingdom. It's in the marketplace, right? It's in being a dentist. It's in being a musician. It's in being, you know, like Matt Falk, with being a comedian, right? Whatever it is, you know, it's going, this was planted in me. This is kind of the talent that I have. And so now, instead of going, oh God, what do you want me to do? Oh God, what do you want me to do? He's like, I already gave you something. You know what you want to do. You know what you're good at. You know what you have a desire to do. Is it painting? Is it music? Is it whatever that thing is? And I guess what I'm encouraging, I mean, there's a good portion of you guys today that probably just love your job and you feel fulfilled and you're doing your purpose. But I'm sure there's at least one or two that are like, man, I hate Mondays. Mondays suck. My stomach hurts. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to work. That doesn't feel good. I'm not, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think instead of him answering and going, I want you to do this now, it's kind of, you know what you want to do, right? You have this desire. You have this skill. And it's going, even if that's scary, even if there's fear in that, it's just understand that he's a super good dad. And everything good happens when you step out of the boat, And the crazy thing is the water holds, right? And so that's, I have this history of just being silly and stepping out of the boat and going, it's the water, it holds, this is crazy, right? And it's not all success, right? It's not all, and I sold and I did these things. It's like, I mean, you could view them as failures, a lot of them, right? I start a company and like 2 years later, I'm doing something else, right? But they're all, it's, he's a good dad, and it's the same way as me with my kid. If he wants to do something, I'm not just doing it all for him. I want him to learn. I want him to kind of trip and fail and go, okay, what do we learn from that? How do you get better at that, man? And I think that's what he's doing with me, and I think that's all of us is kind of how he works with us. So, yeah, I would encourage you guys, if there's something that you guys have been feeling for a long time that like, man, I really want to do this, but that's kind of scary. And we have a mortgage to pay. And it's this weird thing. We're all Christians. You know, you got people in the world and even Christians that go like, man, if I won the lottery, like if you won the lottery, you know, what would you do? What job would you take? Like, what would you do for the rest of your life? Oh man, like I'd make canoes. I'd make handmade wooden canoes and I'd do this, this, and this. So how have we not won the lottery? Right? Like, how do we not? We have favor, we have this awesome dad. We're taken care of. We don't need to worry about what we're eating and what we're wearing and what our finances are tomorrow because he just kind of takes care of it in this weird, spooky, strange way that I can explain to you guys and everybody gets. But then obviously in the workplace, they're like, no, Ian, you have to save money and do these things. I'm like, I've never saved money. I just jump out and it happens and it works. So anyways, all I wanted to say was good things happen when you step out of the boat and I'd encourage you to do it.
I'm going to tell you right now, the service is going to go at least 10 minutes over today because we are going to make time for both of you. Paul, come on up.
Thanks. Old school.
Paper.
I am not as comfortable up here as those last two guys are, so I'm going to have to read mine because I can't wing it. And if it wasn't for the fact that Roger was the one that asked me to come here, I definitely wouldn't be here. I've been with him at a couple of his functions and seen that he gives whatever he has to anybody that needs it at a moment's notice, without question, without hesitation. So he was the right guy to ask. I would have said no to you. I actually titled my testimony and I called it Alone I'm a Failure. The reason that this is tough for me and the things that bother me the most in the world these days is that pride and hypocrisy seems to be a big part in the marketplace. And when things are going well, it's easy to get sucked into the mainstream thinking of how people act at work are often quite different than at home and especially in church. My goal in life really is to be the same guy all the time. Out in the marketplace, we take notice of people who have cleaner language, who don't regularly go to the bar for lunch, and who treat each other with respect, because that's not normal. It's actually tougher sometimes dealing with other Christian leaders who expect a different level on Sunday than the rest of the week. I'm definitely not the perfect Christian, but I strive to be consistent. Whether talking to the good guys on the job site, someone in church, or my family, I try to be the same. So speaking to you today makes me feel vulnerable, as I only share these thoughts with my core group and Melissa. See, if you just say who you're trying to be with your words, like I am right now, people tend to jump all over you when you fail, and we all fail. When you live it through your actions consistently, people seem to be more forgiving when you do fail. We've been in business for 16 years, and things are going really well for us at SCMI. But I assure you that's because God owns the business, and he just allows me to work there at whatever capacity he sees fit at the time. We've had our struggles, and I guess we thought that working hard was all it took to have a successful business. In the first 10 years, we went from 1 to over 30 employees, but we were working 6 long days a week, and we gained market share in our industry and made a name for ourselves. But what I also had done is put the company first in my life. In my mind, I was doing this for good, but not for greed, but it wasn't working out. Unintentionally, I put the company before my wife and kids, my friends, and my God. I think that us Gen Xers get stuck in the thinking that we need to give her and be workaholics to be worth anything. We think that if you're not educated, and I'm not, you need to be a workaholic. And apparently, there's a third option. After 10 years of riding the crazy train, things started to come unraveled. We proved that we could work hard, but it took our accountant and the bank to show us that we just weren't good businessmen, and we were losing money. We'd actually been broke for a few years, we just didn't know it. It's true. We just kept saying, you know, it's growing pains, and we had excuses, and, you know, this and that, this guy's not paying, and whatever. And finally, everything came to a head, and we had to decide whether we were going to leverage everything we had and keep the train going or shut it down. I remember being in my office late one night, like I usually was, and I put my head in my hands and just asked God what to do. What more could I possibly do? I had been attending Marketplace Leader Cell at Southlands for a while at that time, and they had been talking about giving your business to God. And I kind of laughed at myself because this is just at the actual bottom. And when I heard that, because, you know, I thought this is like, you know, giving somebody a bag of dog turds and saying, here, have this. I felt that it was disrespectful. I was the one that ran the company into the ground and waited to the last possible moment to give it to God. Well, but that's what I did. Got down on my knees and gave it to him right there. Almost right away, things started to be different. My eyes were opened up to the things that I had, but I hadn't really noticed. The people I worked with, good people, people who love God too. I thought if I had to go back into the workplace, I'm going to lose being surrounded by these awesome people. I just couldn't see myself working anywhere else. In the construction world, things like language, pornography, respect for people in general was very different than the culture that we had. And I knew I wasn't strong enough as a person at that time to go back. So we decided to go all in. We managed to negotiate with the suppliers and financial institute that this was a good idea. It was amazing how supportive and understanding some of them were. Guys like John Friesen from Friesen Drillers, John Dick from JDX Construction, not only let us defer our debt, but they actually encouraged us, insisted we still do business together, knowing they may lose it all. These are the people I think of when I think of grace. I remember the day that John Friesen came to me. We owed him money for a long time and couldn't pay. All of a sudden, that big diesel pickup came rolling up, and I looked out my desk and saw that big Dodge grill in my window. And I was thinking, uh-oh, this is it. He's coming for his money, and I don't have it. But that's not why he came. He came in, sat down, and shared his story with me. I didn't deserve his grace. Some gave it, some did not. And at times, that really stood out is when I was given grace by non-Christians when denied by Christians. And that's what's scary about talking about this publicly. Looking back, maybe the Christian businessman was just having a bad day. What if, you know, have I done that to someone? Maybe there's somebody out there with a similar story of how I treated them poorly. Remember, I didn't deserve the grace, and we don't deserve God's grace either. But he keeps giving it over and over. And what if I'm not reflecting God's grace and people think my character is disrespectful to God? And honestly, I'm not much to give much thought into what people think of me. And, you know, people can make fun of me, and I won't lose much sleep of that. But if you call me a hypocrite, that hurts me the most. Okay, so we get through everything, and everything's back on track, and we're starting to roll again. And now in my mind, okay, it's time to give her again. Right? Well, no. What starts to happen now is not what I expected. I started to have some health issues, headaches, fatigue, all sorts of other issues. The doctor said there was nothing wrong, but just like that, I lost my ability to be a workaholic. So now what? I'm not that smart, and I can't work long days, and even when I was there, I wasn't always much help. It was actually quite amazing how God was taking over. I could go into meetings with suppliers, contractors, and discuss matters with clarity. Our controller at the time was a non-believer, and he couldn't understand what was going on. Most of the time, I was a puddle of uselessness, and when it mattered, things came clear. I would pray that God be present at the meeting and be in control. I could make it through a meeting of several hours of negotiating with a clear mind, and after be so exhausted I'd have to sleep. Sometimes it took a day or two to recover from a heavy meeting, and there were times I couldn't get out of bed at all. But yet, things kept moving in the right direction, without me moving him. Now, this is where the great people that God put in my life come in. Melissa and the kids supported me unconditionally. I'm sure it was difficult for them to respect a husband and a dad that couldn't make it through the day without a couple of naps, or sometimes not getting out of bed at all, but they always treated me with respect. God put a lot of people in my life that are responsible for turning the company around, and sometimes I had to just sit there and watch. Clarence, Donovan, and Selma stepped up and took charge, and a little bit later we added Wade and Fran to the office mix too. The common denominator with all these people's lives is that they're strong believers. Not only did we have a company that was owned and operated by God, his culture was encouraged. Our weekly management meetings now open and close in prayer. We start our meetings, sometimes if we start our meetings casually and we don't open in prayer, someone will stop the discussion and we back up and start over. It's important to all of them. So 6 more years have passed since then, and SCMI is stronger than ever. I feel blessed that God lets me be part of it, even though I can't always lead and be out front and pushing. Patience is not my virtue. And I think about Moses in Numbers 20, verse 11, when he struck the rock twice to get the water instead of listening to God and doing it his own way. I am definitely a rock striker. And I guess until God is sure I'm ready to listen fully, he's going to keep the reins on me. I know it's for my own good. And when I said before that alone I'm a failure, you can see what I mean. I'm surrounded by very good people, a great God, and with them I'm extremely blessed. That's it.
Okay, I didn't write anything down. I was praying, what do I talk about? And he said, the title is Building Your History with God. And I said, okay, so I need to write something down. He said, do you need to? It's your life. Okay, so this is what it is. I grew up in a Christian home. I got saved somewhere around the age of 8. I was in church whenever the doors were open. That's my history. The church I went to is what we would consider a religious church. There wasn't freedom to raise your hands or anything like that. If you weren't in church on Sunday, you knew for sure somebody's going to be calling you. Where were you Sunday? I didn't see you. So a lot of control. But that's what I grew up in. It taught me some valuable stuff. And for any of you that have that background, don't throw that away. One of the things was consistency. Another thing was integrity. Different qualities like that, that definitely impact how I do business. I've basically been self-employed all my adult life. I went through electrical apprenticeship under Ken Isaac's dad back in 76 to 1980, somewhere around there. And I started my own business in 1980, doing electrical contracting. And I, like Paul said, I worked hard. And by the way, during that time, Ian mentioned FXR. I was a Sunday school teacher. Milt Reimer was in my Sunday school class, the owner of FXR. So the fact that he's a $60 million businessman now, yeah, that reflects on me, eh? Anyway, so I had my own business basically all my working years. There was a period of about... 4 years where I was employed by various other companies where I said other people work 9 to 5 and go home. So I want to do that. But I was frustrated in every one of those jobs. And I didn't really know why. About 10 years ago, I would say roughly 10 years ago, I came to the revelation that God had called me to be a businessman. That's exactly what I was supposed to be doing. I always had this, because of the church I grew up in, I always had this idea, you know, when I get a little more wealthy, I can volunteer more at church and you know do more good works type of thing. Because what I grew up with was, if you're going to be a really good Christian, you'll go on missions to Africa or something like that. The next best option is be a minister in the church. And then the third is, well, you volunteer at church. So that's kind of the mindset I had till, I would say, probably about 10 years ago. Even though I was coming to here, we've been here at Maranatha since, I think, 92. So we've been here quite a few years. I still had that mindset from my upbringing. You know, when I get established, then I can do more volunteer work. And I realized that what I'm doing is what God's called me to. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Back to this consistency and integrity. There's been times where it cost me money. I remember one incident where this was back when I was still doing electrical contracting. I'd sold this customer a project. And part of that job was I had to run this cable. It was pretty expensive stuff. It was about that big around, copper cable. And I don't remember the price, but it was probably something like 10 bucks a foot or something. It was an expensive cable. When you do a job like that, you want to make sure you have enough. You don't want to be 6 inches short because that's a problem. Okay, so I ordered about 6 feet extra. Well, this guy is watching the whole time I'm doing this. So I'm out there with my hacksaw cutting off 6 feet of wire. And when I give him the invoice, he was a little upset. He says, did you include that 6 feet of wire? And I said, no. But of course I did. What's that 6 feet of wire good to me? It's useless. It was in the price. And I told him no, and I went off to Winnipeg. I had to pick up some more supplies. This guy was about halfway between where we lived in Winnipeg. And all the way, I'm thinking, I lied to the guy. I lied to the guy. So I knew I had to stop at his place on my way back. And so he's out in his field cultivating, and I went and found him, and he stopped his tractor, and I ran over to him, and I said, I lied to you. That 6 feet was in that price. As well, it's useless to you anyway. Like, I understand. And he paid it. But I knew I could not live like that. So sometimes when you choose what you know is right, is not a profitable way, supposedly. There's been other times where, for example, I used to sell air conditioning and refrigeration equipment. And I had this lady call. She wanted me to service her air conditioner. It wasn't working. She was from Morris, and we lived at Rosner at the time. And so I went down there, and there was no Freon in the system, so it's leaked. And so I'm checking for leaks, all the usual places, you know, the connections at the unit outside, the connections at the furnace. Nothing. Couldn't find any leak. And I was standing beside the furnace, kind of leaning against it, and I just said, Lord, I can't find the leak. I kind of whispered half out loud. And I had the solution used for finding leaks, it's kind of a soapy solution. It's in a spray bottle, and it's kind of squirted all over. And I just had this impression, squirted that tube right there. I squirted, there's bubbles right away. That was a tube that was welded at the factory. You always check for the leaks of the welds that you do, that are done on site. At the factory, well, that's pressure tested at the factory. Why would it leak there? Sure enough, it was right there. And so the lady was reading Pastor, I found this leak. She said, I actually had a different company here, and they gave up. I said, oh, well, I actually prayed, and God showed me. She was so impressed. But probably 2 weeks after that, I got a call from someone else who wanted their air conditioner fixed. And I said, I'm just way too busy. I can't get there. Like, call somebody else. And they said, no, we want you, even if we have to wait. And I said, okay, it'll be a couple weeks. I mean, this is the air conditioning season, okay? So a couple weeks, it could be heating season. So I came there, and she said, the reason we wanted you is because you did my mother-in-law's. And she said, you prayed over hers. So there's times where it gets you extra business. But the point that I want to make is to be consistent with your life. And some of you maybe didn't have that upbringing or that was taught at your young childhood. You can start building your history with God right now. Today and on can be building on what God has revealed to you. So that's kind of what I felt God wanted me to share with you.
Thank you so much, all four of you. You don't know how much that means. This is where we live our lives. Day in, day out, going about these decisions, dealing with these problems in the marketplace, and we get together here once a week. We're talking about it a couple weeks ago. Discipleship happens. God happens in us and is shown to the world through all of that. and for you guys to open up and share your stories and be vulnerable. Thank you, Paul, for coming. I know it took Roger to ask you, but thank you. You said yes. Thank you, Ian, John. Yeah, I am so blessed. I wish I had more time to talk now. What we really wanted to do, and I don't know we're going to fit this in. We're going to fit it in some other time. We want to open this up. So this is a two-way conversation. So we can talk about what has stirred inside of you, what questions you even have as you're dealing with things in your everyday life, because that's where change happens. Hearing something, it's good, it hits our brain, but we need to start walking it out, we need to start interacting. So we're going to fit that in sometime, soon. Here's what I wanted to say real quick. Wealth of God. Wealth is the prosperity of the soul. All areas. It has to do with a spiritual foundation. It has to do with a healthy marriage. It has to do with time for hobbies. Wealth is all-encompassing. Shalom, peace, is when everything comes into its rightful place. And then there's flow. It had to come into its rightful place for flow. And we are God's ambassadors, stewards of all the resources. All I have to do is look to my daddy, because he owns all the resources. And if I give up $3,000... John, if I give up $3,000, that's okay. It's okay, because God owns it all. And all we're called is to steward it. And as we steward it and walk it out and bring everything into its rightful place, there is a flow and there will always be enough. It really is that simple. But there's a whole world telling us it's much more complicated than that. So thank you again, gentlemen. We're going to pray. We're going to eat. And we'll figure out when we're going to have this more interactive time on another Sunday. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being such a father. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard from these gentlemen, Lord. And I just pray that they would spur us on. They would encourage us to engage, to step out, to take those risks. It is not fair. You remember Bob Fraser's words? It is not fair. Do you know why it's not fair? It's not fair because we have the Holy Spirit and the rest of the world does not. So the creativity is on overload. The problem solving is on overload. The solutions are on overload because God is with us. So it is not fair. Thank you, God, that you are with us in all these things. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your prosperity over each and every person in each and every area and sphere of their life. This week and the days to come. Ask for your blessing over the food now. We give you thanks as we enjoy the Thanksgiving dinner, Lord, for all your provision and taking care of us. In your name, amen.